So my name is Gianna Everett. I'm a junior studying computer science and minoring in physics at Brandeis University.
Hi, my name is Irene. I'm also a junior, majoring in computer science and minoring in physics. I'm a bit sick, so if I sound kind of weird or if I have an accent, please ask me and I can repeat what I said.
My name is Zul Kim, and I'm a freshman. I am majoring in business and business.
So we are currently enrolled in an engineering class, and one of the projects that we came up with was developing a tactile puzzle. I think a lot of the puzzles that currently exist, they're not necessarily gauged more towards like educational or recreational use, and especially not necessarily meant for like visually impaired children. We have previously talked with the Carroll Center, and they mentioned you guys, which is why we also wanted to reach out and they gave us a lot of good insight on some of the learning drawbacks that visually impaired children may have. A current idea that we have for a tactile puzzle is a texture-based crosswalk. So one thing that members from the Carroll Center mentioned is that especially if a child is growing up blind, their perception of like their spatial awareness of the surroundings, they don't have like a full picture perhaps of what they are getting into. So we hope that with like a tactile puzzle of like a cross section, they could better understand like where the crosswalks are on the road, how the road is set up, how cars come and go, what the road actually is. And like material wise, we were thinking about doing any sort of like 3D printing or laser cutting, playing around with different textures that kids might benefit from. Yeah, so that was like our current idea at the moment, but we're also open to any other future feedback or if you have any other suggestions.
What are you envisioning? Because obviously, if this is a puzzle, I assume it comes in pieces. So would this be already assembled, or would the blind person have to assemble this puzzle and put it
Yeah,
together?
they would have to assemble it. So we were thinking about having a board, I guess for dimensions purposes, let's just say like 8 by 8, for example, right? And on that board, there would be a textured layout of what the road is. So I guess if you imagine just like a bit of like a plank in a way, and ingrooved into those are like certain textures. So there'd be like a bumpy texture for the road, like a smooth texture for sidewalks. And we would have individual road pieces, kind of like tiles that would have like pieces of the road on there. And so the child would have to match up the texture of the puzzle piece with the texture on the board, and then they can build the road that way.
So when you're matching these up, would you basically be basing it on the top surface of the piece and the surface of the board? So you'd match it up by texture as opposed
Yes,
to
yes.
trying to figure out where it actually fit related to the shape of the piece and the shape of the board.
Yeah, it would definitely be texture based. It wouldn't be like a 500 piece puzzle where every
Okay,
single thing is like different cutouts. No, all the road pieces would all be squares. It's more about matching
I like
like the
that. I like
logic
that.
and the
That's easy
textures.
for my old brain. I like
I
that.
think of it as a puzzle, but you also might want to think of this as that you actually could use this to describe an intersection that the child knows or should know about. I mean, you might be able to use this actually as a learning tool as opposed to just a puzzle. You might be able to, especially if all the pieces are squared off, you may be able to just to use this to kind of create a location that the child knows, or even an adult for that matter.
Yeah, like a mobility aid. Yeah.
Right. So I'm thinking, especially with if you have different pieces that have T's for intersections, or X's for intersections, and especially if the child or an adult could kind of match up how they perceive that intersection.
Yeah, we definitely wanted to combine like educational with recreational use, and I guess that's why I reached out to Vibug, and if someone could actually give me some clarification on like who you all actually are, because
I'm wondering if another person that might have an interest in discussing this with you would be the head of the mobility department at Mass Commission for the Blind. She might have some ideas about
right.
how it could be used for instructional.
Is this for only mobility purposes, to develop only puzzles of roads, or to develop multiple kinds of recreational puzzles that children can y learn to understand matching surfaces and being able to put surfaces together. It would be good for us to understand the scope of how big you want it.
This current idea, it came from our talk with the Carroll Center. So just to give a little bit more context, and that they really promoted the idea of just like improving spatial awareness, and roads is just one of the things that came up. That's why we want to talk to you guys to see if there's anything else that may be pressing in terms of like a learning or developmental perspective. And in terms of the materials, yeah, so laser cutting is exclusively with wood. So if you think about interconnected joints, those would all be like wood pieces. And we also have the capability to do 3D printing, which is made out of certain types of plastic as well. So in order to get like the proper textures, that would require us to do some 3D modeling to ensure that the board matches up with the puzzle pieces.
What about using this for science, for example, like in biology, for example, say looking at the process of meiosis or mitosis or something like that?
Yeah, we could definitely do that. Our initial intent was to work with like a client one-on-one. So this would be a products catered specifically to them. So like, for example, if we were working with a 8-year-old child, and like you said, Tim, like maybe they needed help about like cell replication, like we would develop a puzzle specifically for that. But we were also thinking about the approach of making something general for the classroom that could just be used by a general amount of students. And it's something that they could interact with, both visually impaired children and non-visually impaired.
What is the age range of these puzzles that you're trying to create?
We were hoping anywhere from about 6 to 10 years old, but we could adjust accordingly. And in regards to all the map comments, that is an idea that we were tossing around. So do you feel like, is there any sort of preference perhaps on like what big of a preferential scale there might be? Because we were thinking about something like maybe just the Boston area, or focusing on like topographical maps where it's kind of like layered up, and it's like, oh, this portion of the map is higher to signify a mountain, this part is lower for roads and whatnot. Yeah.
I saw in the email your time frame. Being students, often that means you're doing it for the semester, right? If you're lucky, you have a second semester, which is the spring. So that naturally limits what you're able to do. So if that's the case, then I would suggest that you actually talk to potential users. For instance, if your focus is on children, maybe talk to a classroom at Perkins, get a couple of kids or a teacher to inform what you're trying to do. Because these ideas we are giving right now are great, but they appear to be ones that you want to do for a longer period. For instance, the maps idea, I love the idea of being able to do something like that. In terms of who you are doing it for, it helps if you have a small group, a teacher to inform you. Maybe there's an issue with a particular kid or a bunch of kids with their spatial reasoning, etc., and you want to work with them to come up with something. Because your time frame is too limited to be able to do something big. Having said that, I would want you to do something and 3D print it, because it's so much better. Wood is helpful, but if you 3D printed, I think that would be so much better. For instance, in that case, once you do it, if it's in the classroom, the teacher has it to teach other kids with it. Imagine, say, the Perkins Yard, right? You come up with something for that area, and then they use it as a tool to teach kids year in, year out about that particular area.
I feel all of your comments make a lot of sense. Yeah, this project is meant to last for about a month or so. So turnaround would be about middle of December for when we would have like a final product.
One of the things I might think about doing if I were you is contacting Perkins and talking with them about children who would be good candidates for working on your project with you.
Wanted to share a brief experience. A few years ago, my family and I went to the Galapagos, and we were on a ship for a week with a naturalist, and we visited a lot of the different islands. The naturalist was very creative about trying to find ways to help me experience things. And she and the engineer on the ship did a very simple, low-tech version of what you're talking about, sort of, which is they took an 8.5 by 11 paper map of the chain of islands, and they used just fairly thin but detectable coasters that they cut into the shapes of the islands and pieced together. And then they used these foil-wrapped candies they had for the volcanoes on the various islands. So that's all it did. But it was such a revelation to me because by touching it, I mean, I knew the names of the islands. We visited them, and I knew that there was this one that was bigger. I had no idea, for example, how much bigger this one island was than the other islands. It gave me a sense of where on the island, you know, we visited the volcano sites, and it gave me a sense of where they were compared to where we had anchored, that kind of stuff. And it was super low tech. So, I mean, I hear what you're talking about with the 3D printing, and certainly that gives you the ability to recreate it over and over again for other students. But, you know, keep your mind open to things that are lower tech as well, because sometimes something very simple can really have an impactful message.
When you contact Perkins, I think the name of the part of the Perkins, which is a huge enterprise, would be Lower School for children of that age.
And yeah, of course, yeah, we will keep you all informed, hopefully with, you know, schedules forgiving and whatnot. But yeah, a follow-up would be great, just to keep you all in the loop. And it's like a bit of a thank you for helping as well. Speaking on behalf of all of us, we really appreciate your time and help with this. So thank you so much again.